Well, hey everybody, I'm Adam Schell, the pastor at Melbourne Heights, and welcome to our sermon podcast. And I just want to start out by thanking you for spending part of your day with us. And if you're blessed during our time together today, let me invite you to come and worship with us live on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time. You can worship with us live on our church website at mhbclouisville.com/live. Or if you're in the Louisville, Kentucky area, we would love to have you come and join us in person. But with that, let's get right into this episode's sermon.
I don't know if you've really thought about this yet or not, but Easter Sunday is now just 6 weeks away. And that means that it's time for us as followers of Jesus to start preparing ourselves for Easter Sunday. And we do this in a season that we in the church call Lent. Now that's L-E-N-T, Lent, not L-I-N-T, Lent, because L-I-N-T, Lent is the fuzzy blue stuff you pull out of your dryer after you do a load of laundry. But L-E-N-T, Lent, is kind of like New Year's for us as followers of Jesus. Because at the beginning of a new year, a lot of us like to reflect on where we're at in life. And we like to think about who we want to become. And then at the beginning of a new year, we make a commitment to do the things that we need to do to become the person that we want to be. Well, for us as followers of Jesus, Lent is kind of the same way. Lent is a season of both reflection and it's a season of action. Lent is a time when we take a closer look at our lives. We reflect on who we are, but we also reflect on who God wants us to be. And then we make a commitment to do something about it. And as we think about who it is that God wants us to be, we're ultimately reminded in passages like Romans 8, verse 9, that God wants us to be like his son, Jesus. But when we reflect on our lives, when we think about where we're at in lives, all of us can realize that we don't always live our lives a lot like Jesus did. So this means that Lent is a time when we commit to be more like Jesus. That's what Lent's really about. Lent is a time where we commit to be more like Jesus. So this is what we're going to be talking about during the season of Lent here at Melbourne Heights. Over the next 6 weeks, we're going to be working our way through a series of sermons called Lent, More Like Jesus, where we're going to be reflecting on where we're at as people. And we're going to be thinking about those areas in our lives where we don't always live like Jesus. And then we're going to think about what it is that we need to do to become more like Jesus. And of course, this begs the question of us, what do we need to do to become more like Jesus? What do we need to do to become more like Jesus? Well, I'll go ahead and let you know that a 25-minute sermon's not going to be an adequate amount of time to even start answering that question. Six sermons isn't even going to adequately be able to answer that question. Instead, what we can do today is we can start thinking about what it is that we need to do to become more like Jesus by taking a closer look at a story that just about all of us are familiar with. As a matter of fact, this story is so familiar to us that it has actually served as the basis of one of the most famous pieces of artwork that was ever created. One of the most well-known pieces of art that was ever created was made to depict this particular story. This piece of art was created back in the late 1400s by none other than Leonardo da Vinci. And at one point or another, over the last 600 years, this piece of art, or a reproduction of it, has ended up hanging in just about every church's fellowship hall along the way. Of course, I'm talking about this painting that you see on the screen. This is Da Vinci's The Last Supper. But even if we didn't just put that picture up on the screen for you to take a closer look at it, you all have a pretty good idea of what this painting looks like because you've seen it so many times before. So in this painting, you have Jesus is sitting in the middle of the table, and he is surrounded by all of his disciples. And his disciples are engaged in various activities. As you look closer at the painting, it looks like some of the disciples are engaged in conversation. And some of them look like they might even be arguing with each other. And then you've got some disciples around the table that are just lovingly looking toward Jesus. And the list goes on and on from there. But even though Da Vinci's The Last Supper is considered to be an absolute masterpiece, I have to confess to you today that I've got a problem with this particular painting. So what problem do I have with Da Vinci's The Last Supper? Well, the problem I have is that that's not really what The Last Supper would have been looking like at all. So what is it that Da Vinci gets wrong in this particular painting? Well, a lot of people think that the thing that Da Vinci gets wrong in this painting is the seating order that is portrayed in the picture. And when you stop and you think about it, all 13 of the people in that painting, Jesus and his 12 disciples, where are they sitting? They're all sitting on one side of the table. And that's a little bit weird, right? I mean, if you or I were going out to dinner with 12 of our friends and we walked into the restaurant and we asked for a table, we would ask for a table for 13 that we'd all sit around. We wouldn't ask for a table for 26 so we could all sit on one side of the table. But believe it or not, Da Vinci probably got that part right. Because back in the Roman world in the first century, guests that came to a banquet or some sort of dinner party would have all been seated on one side of the table to make it easier for the servers who were actually serving the meal to make their rounds around the table. So it's not the seating order, then what is it that Da Vinci got wrong in this painting? What's the way that Jesus and his disciples were all sitting? Because if you think back to the picture, if you think back to that painting, Jesus and all of his disciples are elevated up off the ground, so it looks like they're all sitting in chairs. And that doesn't seem at all strange or odd or out of place to us, because whenever we sit down for a meal today, whether we're eating in a restaurant or if we're eating at home, we sit down in chairs. But that's not actually the way that people ate in the Roman world in the first century. Back in the first century, in the Roman world, tables were a lot lower than the ones that we're accustomed to today. So you couldn't have sat at a chair to eat. Instead, what Jesus and his disciples would have done during the Last Supper is they would have been sitting down on the ground, lounging around the table. So to eat the meal, they actually would have had to prop themselves up using their left arm. They would have used that as support, and they would have used their right arm to eat the meal as it was being served to them. And then in between courses, they would have been lounging back and relaxing on some sort of cushions or pillows. In addition to that, back in the first century in the Roman world, people wouldn't have had their legs stretched out underneath the table like we're used to doing today either. Now, back in the Roman world in the first century, your legs would have been stretched out to the side, and they would have actually gone behind the person who was sitting to your right. Again, that's why you're propped up on your left hand. And this, again, is part of the reason why people only sat on one side of the table in the first century in the Roman world, because you can just imagine how difficult a server's job would have been if they had to climb over top of everybody's legs just to make it to the table. A whole lot of food would have been spilled and a whole lot of guests would not have been particularly happy. But what's the big deal here? What's the big deal here? Why did I just spend these last few minutes critiquing and criticizing one of the most famous pieces of art that was ever created? And who really cares if Jesus and his disciples were sitting during the Last Supper or standing or if they were stretched out behind the table? What difference does any of this make? Well, if you'll take a closer look with me at one account of Jesus' Last Supper, I can actually show you why this is an important detail in this story. So if you've got a Bible close by or Bible app on your phone, I encourage you to open it up to John chapter 13. John chapter 13, and as you're finding it, I just want to remind you that the book of John is essentially a biography of Jesus. So you can read all about Jesus' life inside of the book of John. And in John chapter 13, we're going to read about something kind of strange that happens before Jesus' Last Supper with his disciples. So let's take a look at John 13 together. We're going to start reading in verse 1. And here's what it says. It says, "Before the festival of the Passover," that's the meal Jesus and his disciples were eating that night, "Jesus knew that his time had come to leave this world and to go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them fully. Jesus and his disciples were sharing the evening meal. The devil had already provoked Judas, Simon Iscariot's son, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew the Father had given him and everything into the hands and that he had come from God and was returning to God. And now this is where things are going to get a little bit weird, because in verse 4 we're told, so he, that is Jesus, got up from the table, took off his robes, picking up a linen towel, he tied it around his waist, he then poured water into a wash basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel he was wearing. So in John's account of the Last Supper, Jesus washes his disciples' feet. I want to say that again for you. In John's account of Jesus' Last Supper, Jesus washes his disciples' feet. Now, for a lot of us, we have heard this story so many times before. We've heard it more times before than we can even keep count of anymore. And that means that we become really familiar with the story. And because we've become so familiar with the story doesn't sound that strange to us anymore. But this story is strange. This story is kind of weird. This story is even a little bit gross, and let me explain why. I'm almost 42 years old, and never, ever in my entire life has anyone ever tried to wash my feet besides me. And if somebody else tried to wash my feet, one, they'd be in danger because I'm really ticklish and I tend to jerk when you touch my feet, and two, it would really kind of creep me out if it was happening. So when we read this story, it should sound a little strange, a little odd, maybe even a little bit gross to us. But even though this story should be a little strange, a little odd, maybe even a little gross to us, when you stop and you think about everything that's happening surrounding this story, it actually makes a whole lot of sense. So let's take a little bit of time. Let's think about everything that's happening surrounding the story. So before, Jesus and his disciples would have come together to eat the Passover meal, which is going to end up being his Last Supper. Jesus and his disciples would have spent all day walking through the streets of Jerusalem to make sure they had everything ready for the Passover meal. And when I say that Jesus and his disciples were walking through the streets of Jerusalem, you have to remember that the streets in the city of Jerusalem back in the first century aren't like streets in America in the 21st century. Streets in Jerusalem back in the first century wouldn't have been paved with asphalt. They wouldn't have been paved with concrete. They wouldn't have been paved at all. Most of the streets in the city of Jerusalem would have been dirt. And when Jesus and his disciples were out walking on these streets in the city of Jerusalem, it's not like they were wearing fancy shoes like we all wore when we got ready to come to church today. No, at best, Jesus and his disciples may have had some sort of simple sandals that they wore as they were walking through these streets. But in all likelihood, most of them would have been walking through these streets barefoot. So Jesus and his disciples are walking barefoot through these dirt streets in the city of Jerusalem, which is a hot desert climate. So as Jesus and his disciples are walking along these dirt streets, their feet are going to get hot. And when your feet get hot, they start to get sweaty. And when your sweaty feet start to hit the dirt roads that you're walking on, that dirt is going to start turning into mud on your feet. And the further they walk, the longer they walk, the more dirt and mud is going to get on their feet. So by the end of the day, Jesus and his disciples, their feet would have been caked in mud. And I know that sounds kind of gross, but that's about as sanitary as Jesus and his disciples could have hoped their feet would have been at the end of a long day of walking through the streets of Jerusalem. Because you also have to remember, in Jerusalem in the first century, Jesus and his disciples didn't have to worry about any cars that were going flying by on the streets in the city, but they did have to worry about the animals on the streets of the city that were used to haul goods or people around. And they really had to worry about what the animals may have left behind in the streets. You get a picture from there. So when Jesus and his disciples come together to eat the Passover meal, their feet are sweaty, their feet are dirty, their feet are stinky, their feet are just flat out disgusting. And as they sit down around these tables, their feet aren't safely tucked underneath the table where no one's going to see them or smell them or anything along those lines. They're lounging around these tables. And that meant that their feet were right in the face of the person who was two people to their right. That's why it matters, the way that we depict the story of the Last Supper. Because Jesus' disciples, they shouldn't have wanted to sit down at that table. They shouldn't have wanted to sit down and share this meal with dirty, sweaty, stinky, nasty feet. So Jesus takes it upon himself to do something about this. Jesus decides that he is going to wash his disciples' feet. Jesus decides that he's going to be the one who cleans all the dirt, all the mud, all the sweat, all the stink off of his disciples' feet, so that they can all enjoy their time together. But why does Jesus do it? Why does Jesus do that? I mean, this is Jesus that we're talking about. This is God made human. So why is it that God has to get down on his hands, on his knees, to clean his disciples' feet? Why don't the disciples wash their own feet? Well, I think that there are at least a few reasons for what happens in the story. First, I think that Jesus washes his disciples' feet in the story because Jesus wants to teach everyone who follows him, including us, a lesson about service and a lesson about humility. But I also think that part of the reason why the disciples don't wash their own feet comes down to an issue of social status and social standing. Because back in the Roman world in the first century, the responsibility of washing a guest's feet when they came to a dinner party or a banquet would have fallen upon the lowest servant or slave in a household, and none of Jesus' disciples were willing to lower themselves to that kind of a position. But I also think that there's something else that's happening in this story that's really easy for us to overlook. And I think this is really easy for us to overlook because I have preached or I have taught lessons, Bible studies on this particular story in the 17 years that I've been in ministry at least a dozen times. But I never really thought about this until I was working on this sermon. So what is it that's happening in this story that's really easy for us to overlook? Why is it that the disciples weren't willing to wash their own feet? I think part of the reason why the disciples didn't wash their own feet is because they didn't really think about how dirty they were. They didn't realize how dirty their feet were. The disciples didn't even realize they had a problem at all. But how is that even possible? I mean, they've been walking through the streets of Jerusalem all day long, and their feet have been getting consistently dirtier and dirtier the further that they've walked. So how could they possibly sit down for dinner and not realize that their feet were covered in dirt? How could they not realize that their feet were dirty, sweaty, and stinky as they sat down to celebrate the Passover meal? Well, think about it this way. I want you to imagine that after our worship service comes to an end today, that you decide that you want to go out to a Mexican restaurant for lunch. Okay? And when I say that you're going to go out to a Mexican restaurant for lunch, I don't mean you're going to hit up Taco Bell or Qdoba or any place like that. You're going to go to a nice sit-down Mexican restaurant like Chuy's or El Nopal or someplace like that. And when you get in there and you get seated and the waiter comes for your order, I want you to imagine that you order the fajitas. All right? And we all know what happens when you order the fajitas at a good sit-down Mexican restaurant. A few minutes later, your server is going to come back out of the kitchen, and they are going to be carrying that sizzling hot skillet filled with the peppers and the onions and the steak, the chicken, the shrimp, whatever protein it is that you ordered with your fajitas. And as they're walking that sizzling hot skillet filled with peppers and onions and steak or chicken or shrimp out to your table, everybody in the entire restaurant is going to hear that sizzling skillet as it passes by. And not only are they going to hear that sizzling hot skillet as it passes by, they're going to be able to smell all the food that's on it. And then the server puts it down in front of you, and you sit there and you make all your nice little fajitas. You enjoy your meal. But what you don't realize is the whole time that you're sitting there eating that meal, the smell of the peppers, the onions, the steak, the chicken, the shrimp is soaking into your clothes. It's getting into your hair. So after you finish up your lunch and you leave the restaurant, everyone else that you pass by for the rest of the day, the person that sits close to you in the movie theater, the person that you pass as you're walking through the aisles inside of Kroger as you're doing some grocery shopping, the person that's on the other side of the gas pump from you as you're filling up your tank, they're all going to smell those peppers, those onions, that steak, that chicken, that shrimp, because it's soaked into your clothes and into your hair. They're going to realize that you had Mexican food for lunch, even though you have no idea that you smell. I think the same kind of thing happens to the disciples in this story. Yes, they've been walking through the streets of Jerusalem all day long, and their feet have been getting dirtier. The sweatier they've got, the more dirt and mud that's been caked onto their feet. So by the time they get ready to eat the Last Supper, I think they've completely forgotten. They don't even notice how dirty, sweaty, stinky, and nasty their feet are. They've been walking through those roads. Little by little, a little more dirt, a little more dust has been kicked up onto them, and they become completely unaware of it. The same thing happens to us in our lives, too. In our lives, we travel down a lot of dirty and dusty roads. And as we're walking down these dirty and dusty roads, a lot of dirt and dust gets kicked up, not onto the soles of our feet, but onto our immortal souls. So as we're walking down these dirty roads, a little bit of anger gets kicked up onto our souls. A little bit of greed gets kicked up onto our souls. A little bit of jealousy gets kicked up onto our souls. A little bit of pride gets kicked up onto our souls. And the further we walk, the dirtier we get. And the dirtier we get, the less we live like Jesus. And we don't even realize it. We don't even realize that we need to clean up. Because there's no reason to clean up if you don't realize you're dirty. There's no reason to clean up if you don't realize you're dirty. And in the story that we just read, the disciples don't realize that they're dirty. They've gotten used to all of this dirt that is caked onto their feet. So they sit down around the dinner table and they don't even think about it. But then Jesus pulls out that wash basin and that towel, and he reminds the disciples that they need to clean up. He reminds the disciples that they've been walking down these dirty roads and that all of that dirt and dust has gotten kicked up onto them. And the story should remind us of the same thing. This story should remind us that as we travel through life, dirt and dust gets kicked up onto our souls. And we need to clean up. Because none of us are perfect. All of us mess up. All of us make mistakes. There are times in life where we all get angry. There are times in life where we all feel greedy or jealous. There are times in life where we all have that overwhelming pride in ourselves and our own abilities. So we all need to clean up sometimes. So the first thing that we need to do if we want to become more like Jesus is we need to realize that we don't always live like Jesus. The first thing that we need to do if we are going to become more like Jesus is to realize that there are areas and aspects in our lives where we don't always live like Jesus. So as we begin this season of Lent, I want to challenge you to spend some time over the next 6 weeks talking with God. I want you to talk with God and ask God to show you where it is the dirt has gotten caked into your soul. I want you to talk with God about those areas in life where you get angry or greedy, those areas where you feel jealous or pride. I want you to ask God to show you where the dirt is in your life and ask God to wash it away. Ask God to wash all of that dirt away, so that you can start fresh, so that you have the chance to live a little more like Jesus. Because that's ultimately what this season is about. This season reminds us that none of us are perfect. We all sin. We all make mistakes. We all need to be washed clean. And that's where we start today. Ask God to show you where you've fallen short. Ask God to wash you clean so you can start living more like Jesus. Let's pray together. God, as we come to you in this word of prayer, we thank you for the story of Jesus washing his disciples' feet. God, and even though this story should sound a little strange and odd to us, we're thankful for everything it teaches us, God. Because just like Jesus' disciples, it's easy for us to forget that we're not clean. It's easy for us to forget that our immortal souls get dirty as we travel through this life. So God, I pray that you open all of our eyes to see that dirt in our lives. Show us those areas where we get angry and upset, those areas where we can feel greed or jealousy, those times that we feel prideful about ourselves, God. And start washing us clean. Start washing us clean, God, so that we can try again to follow in Jesus' footsteps to be more like him. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, hey, it's Adam again, and I just want to thank you for tuning in to this episode of our sermon podcast, and I hope that you've been blessed during our time together. And if that's happened, once again, I want to invite you to come and worship with us live on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time. You can do that by joining us on our church website at mhbclouisville.com/live, or if you're in the Louisville, Kentucky area, you can also worship with us in person. And that's going to do it for this episode of our sermon podcast, but I want to invite you to come back and join us again when our next episode drops next week. But until then, I'll be praying for you. I hope that you have a great week, and we'll see you back here soon for another sermon podcast.